I'm Dave Heller, and this is NewsWorks Tonight. The top education board in Philadelphia has a new leader. Joyce Wilkerson made her name as chief of staff to former Mayor John Street, and today she was named chair of the School Reform Commission. As WHYY's Avi Wolfman-Arad explains, Wilkerson takes over at a time that could make or break the SRC.
Joyce Wilkerson knows Philadelphia. She worked in City Hall for years and has survived her share of political battles.
As Mayor Street used to say, I don't have skin, I have hide.
She'll need that hide on the SRC, one of the toughest jobs in town. Since its formation after a 2001 state takeover, the commission has been blamed for just about everything that goes awry in Philly schools. Now some are calling for the SRC to be abolished and for a local school board to run the show instead. Wilkerson is among them.
What we have now has not worked the way folk envisioned, and so I do support local control.
If Wilkerson and at least two other commissioners vote to dissolve the SRC, she would have the curious role of assisting in the birth and death of the commission. Wilkerson was part of Street's inner circle when the mayor struck a deal with Harrisburg. You give us the money we need to avoid a financial meltdown, and we'll give up control of the schools. Wilkerson says it was the right move at the time, but hasn't worked as planned. In the meantime, Wilkerson wants to focus on stabilizing the schools. That means getting a new contract for city teachers, while also trying to plug a long-term budget gap.
It's hard to operate a district when all those things are in flux. It's hard for teachers, it's hard for the administration to focus on education when every ball is up in the air.
She's also wary of charter school expansion, saying current state law pits charters against district schools in a fight for precious dollars. Wilkerson doesn't have an education background, but acquaintances say she's even-keeled, well-connected, and ready for whatever the job might throw at her, even if that means throwing herself out of a job. I'm Avi Wolfman-Arad, WHYY News.
All eyes will be on Pennsylvania Tuesday. The Keystone State is considered key in determining which party controls the U.S. Senate and wins the White House. Democrats rely on Philadelphia to offset the Republican voters in the middle of the state. Joining me in conversation is WHYY's Jim Saxa. And Jim, with the city hampered by a transit strike, to what extent are Democrats concerned?
I think they're terrified, Dave. Ed Rendell warned that a transit strike could hand the election to Donald Trump. Representatives from Katie McGinney's campaign told me that they're really worried. Congressman Bob Brady said he was concerned, but he also added that he thinks Democrats will still make it out to vote on Election Day.
I think we're going to push it as hard as we can. We'll let people know. They've got to allow some time, you know, and people in the city of Philadelphia do want to come out and vote. It just is a little bit more of an inconvenience, and the last thing you want to do, I ever want to do, is inconvenience anybody.
Most voters in Philadelphia live a short walk from their polling place. To what extent is it an inconvenience?
You know, it all comes down to time. Our colleague, Peter Crimmins, he's heard from a lot of commuters who have said that their commute times have doubled or even tripled.
Yesterday, I was waiting 2 hours after work for the shuttle, and then coming to work, I waited an hour and a half, so about 3.5 to 4 hours total, added to your 8 to 12 hour shift. You're commuting and working, that's all you're doing. Trying to run and work, that's all you can do. You gotta go to work, you know?
That's Lena Henderson. She's a security guard with Allied Barton. Her company's providing a shuttle, but not everyone is so lucky. A lot of people are walking to work. If you add up all the time she says she spends working and commuting, it's way over the 13 hours that the polling places will be open on Tuesday. Democrats are worried that voters simply won't have enough time to get to their polling places before or after work. The strike could effectively disenfranchise a lot of Philadelphians.
So is that why SEPTA is seeking an injunction?
Exactly, Dave. SEPTA said they would file an emergency injunction today if the union would not voluntarily suspend the strike. But striking on Election Day is the union's biggest source of leverage in this dispute, so they won't do that.
Jim, what's the likelihood that a judge would grant such an injunction?
That's an open question, Dave. Usually injunctions prevent someone from pursuing some sort of course of action. This one would attempt to require nearly 5,000 people to go back to work. I put the question to Joel Barris, a partner at the law firm of Reed Smith. He says it's a coin flip.
It is very, very difficult to get an injunction of a work stoppage in this type of context. But if you're going to have a compelling reason to do so, a presidential election is a very good one.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Dave.
WHYY's Jim Saxa on Newsworks Tonight. As the presidential election campaign winds towards its conclusion, there are concerns among some Democrats about lagging enthusiasm and turnout among African-American voters in Philadelphia and elsewhere. WHYY's Dave Davies reports.
There are two reasons for Democratic leaders to worry. One might be called the Obama hangover, black voters feeling a letdown after voting for President Obama in the last two elections. Several leaders of the Philadelphia black clergy met in North Philadelphia to talk about the election. Reverend Wayne Weathers says, yes, there's some concern, particularly about younger voters.
There are some within the millennial generation that we as clergy, we're working with in order to get them out to vote, but the enthusiasm is on the rise.
The Clinton campaign has invested heavily in field operations, so voters should get plenty of reminders when Election Day comes. The second concern is voter suppression efforts. Donald Trump has warned of cheating and urged his followers to go and watch the polls in certain areas. His ally Roger Stone is planning an exit polling operation, which Democrats assert could be an effort to intimidate minority voters. Philadelphia State Senator Vincent Hughes says Democrats will be ready.
Their efforts will, in fact, spur more turnout and increased engagement. When we feel somebody's trying to deny us something that is rightfully ours, deny us something that we fought and died for, we rebel against that by getting more engaged in the electoral process.
Democrats have filed a lawsuit against the Trump campaign and the Stone Organization's effort, asking the court to enjoin them from certain activities on Election Day. A Republican lawsuit to expand the reach of poll watchers in Pennsylvania came up short when a judge upheld the current rule for poll watchers. They're confined to polling places in their home county. There's one thing Philadelphia Democrats worry about that isn't caused by Republicans: the SEPTA strike, which could dampen turnout if it isn't resolved by Tuesday. Dave Davies, WHYY News.
The Democrat trying to unseat Pennsylvania Republican U.S. Senator Pat Toomey is casting herself as a more mainstream alternative to the incumbent. WHYY's Tom McDonald reports that while Katie McGinty has been campaigning all year, the pivotal race could come down to how big the coattails are from the presidential candidates.
I hope that Philadelphia will send Katie McGinty on behalf of Pennsylvania to the United States Senate.
Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton spoke on behalf of Katie McGinty during a recent appearance in Philadelphia. Secretary Clinton gave the argument for electing McGinty as the first female to represent Pennsylvania as a U.S. senator.
I've known Katie for a long time. You may know, too, she's the daughter of a Philadelphia police officer, one of 10 children. Now, why is that relevant? Because you got to learn how to get along with people.
McGinty grew up in Northeast Philadelphia and ran unsuccessfully for governor in 2014. She previously chaired the White House Council on Environmental Quality when Bill Clinton was president. On the state level, she served as Secretary of the Department of Environmental Protection and was Governor Tom Wolf's chief of staff. Donna Cooper worked in Harrisburg with McGinty and says she was relentless in forming very complicated alliances to get things done.
I can remember that when we were trying to regulate emissions, there were industry concerns and there were obviously public health concerns associated with cleaning up the air. And what Katie was able to do was to really identify the areas where the industry and public health experts could come together and also identify the areas where perhaps the industry was not as eager to move as public health experts wanted them to move, and to find ways to incrementally meet the needs of public health and bring the industry along.
Political consultant and lobbyist Larry Seisler says McGinty's Northeast Philadelphia roots come through on the campaign trail.
She's still not a polished candidate when you watch her compared to other people, but I think that really goes to more that she's a very genuine type person. I mean, Katie has just an infectious personality, very bright and she's very empathetic.
McGinty's experience in government and in the private sector has become an attack point for Pat Toomey's re-election campaign. Multiple ads, some from Toomey, some from independent groups, have accused her of getting lucrative board posts after leaving the Department of Environmental Protection with companies the agency regulated. When pressed to respond to those accusations, McGinty said most businesses in Pennsylvania have to interact with the DEP.
The Department of Environmental Protection has expansive jurisdiction. If you're a business anywhere near the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, you have operations of any kind, it is almost certain that you are under the purview of the Department of Environmental Protection in one way or another. Almost certain.
Ken Smuckler has been a political operative for decades. He says McGinty's chances are tied closely to Hillary Clinton's performance in Pennsylvania, which is nothing new for candidates in presidential years.
If Trump keeps this race within a 5 to 7, 8 point range, then my guess is that Toomey might be able to pull it out. I look at it very much like Lynn Yackel's race against Arlen Specter when Bill Clinton was leading the ticket in 92. And really, Clinton was able to pull some House candidates through in the suburbs of Philadelphia when Yackel still lost by a point.
Slicer says this race is being heavily influenced by the Donald Trump effect.
I think in any other year, my hunch is that Pat Toomey could be pretty confident of being reelected. This is not the year. I mean, it's just very, very difficult to stem a tide of anything statewide, let's say over five points.
McGinty seems to have the same opinion. For much of the fall, she's been pressing Toomey to take a stand on whether he'll vote for Trump. And while Toomey has been unwilling to give a definitive answer, McGinty keeps hammering what she calls the Trump-Toomey ticket. I'm Tom McDonald, WHYY News.
Pennsylvania has seen some big spending in its political races this election cycle. The U.S. Senate contest is the most expensive in the country. Out-of-state money has poured into its attorney general's contest, and millions have been sunk into presidential ads around the Commonwealth. But there is one contest where the amount of money involved is in the hundred billions. State treasurer. While the race has attracted less attention, Katie Meyer reports its winner will manage all the Commonwealth assets and investments, contend with the Commonwealth debts, and inherit an office marked by corruption.
In comparison with the candidates in Pennsylvania's higher-profile races, the contenders for state treasurer haven't done a ton of campaigning for themselves. Instead, many of the bigger appearances by Democrat Joe Torsella and Republican Otto Voigt have been things like,
I will not waver, nor will I back down in my support of Donald J. Trump.
That's Voigt at a recent rally for the GOP presidential nominee. Voigt's a fixture at Trump's Pennsylvania events and was actually the first statewide candidate to formally endorse the businessman. Torsella has also been on the presidential campaign trail across the Commonwealth supporting Hillary Clinton.
On November 8th, it is up to us in Pennsylvania to make sure that the closest Donald Trump ever gets to the Oval Office is the line for tickets to the White House tour.
But aside from being loyal to their party's respective nominees, who are Voigt and Torsella? Despite extremely different backgrounds, both are billing themselves as being government outsiders. Torsella has never held an elected position. He acted as deputy mayor of Philadelphia under Ed Rendell, served as a U.S. representative to the United Nations, and had two separate stints as president and CEO of the National Constitution Center. Torsella puts heavy emphasis on his plans to hold the state accountable for its spending.
Treasurer is an independent fiscal watchdog. I intend to use that function and to beef it up and believe through doing that we can find many more efficiencies in state government.
Much like the presidential candidate he supports, Voigt has a more business-centric background. He's notably been the president of the manufacturing and distribution company Keystone Dental Group for nearly two decades. Voigt's also a veteran of the Persian Gulf War and served on his local school board. And like Torsella, he's promoting transparency-minded initiatives.
My PAcheckbook.com initiative will show everybody all across Pennsylvania in easy-to-use terms where all our revenues are coming from, where all our expenses are going, our contracts.
Whichever man is elected will be taking over an office that's seen more than its share of controversy in recent years. Two of Pennsylvania's last three treasurers have been federally prosecuted. Barbara Hafer, who served from the late 1990s to early 2000s, is facing charges that date back to business ties she maintained during her treasury tenure. The last elected treasurer, Rob McCord, resigned early last year and ultimately pled guilty in federal court to attempted extortion. Promises to root corruption out of the treasury are hallmarks of both candidates' campaign pitches. Torsella, in particular, is pushing to get rid of so-called middlemen, also known as placement agents. They're generally well-connected people who help investment companies do business with the state.
The practice we have of paying middlemen to introduce money managers to the state has been at the heart of this ongoing corruption scandal, and that's not surprising. So I've proposed, and I'm the only candidate who's proposed, banning middlemen.
Voigt calls the idea unnecessary.
The treasurers themselves, okay, are the ones who have been corrupt. So he's not solving a problem, he's solving a symptom of the problem.
He has a different approach. As part of a strategy he calls the Hope and Opportunity Plan, he says he'll cut down on working with big companies.
I'm going to fire Wall Street, and I'm going to hire Pennsylvania investment advisors, of which 20% will be minority-owned companies.
In Pennsylvania, the treasurer's job is to oversee the state's funds and process payments. They're also in charge of making certain decisions about state assets, like how to invest pension funds. These duties often go on behind the scenes, but they can have a direct impact on Pennsylvanians. During last year's budget impasse, for instance, the Commonwealth went months with an incomplete spending plan, and so it fell to the treasurer to decide if certain things, like prisons, would be funded. And this year, after revenues fell below projections in the first quarter, the Treasury provided the state with a line of credit to pay immediate expenses. Both candidates say they'd probably handle that situation differently. Voigt says point blank he doesn't approve of the credit line.
I would not, because there is no clear plan on how to pay it back. And as a steward of the taxpayers' money, it is my responsibility to say no.
Torsella says he thinks the current situation is a result of a bigger issue, the state not facing up to its fiscal problems.
What you'll hear from me is treasurers pointing out when we're steering into dangerous fiscal waters. I'm going to try and make that much more understandable to the average citizen.
Whoever's elected may well have a chance to deal with this very issue. Matthew Niddle, director of the state's independent fiscal office, says while he expects some revenue growth post-election, the Commonwealth might continue to struggle.
It does appear that, in particular, business and business investment has been very weak, and we keep expecting that to pick up, and it hasn't. The latest data for the third quarter, in fact, showed once again, weakness in business investment.
Torsella and Voigt are the major party candidates running for treasurer, but they're also joined by Libertarian James Babb and Susan Combs of the Green Party. Hillary Clinton is currently leading in Pennsylvania by about 5 points, according to an average of recent state polls. In general, down-ballot candidates, like those running for statewide row offices like treasurer, have better luck when the top of their ticket does well. Katie Meyer in Harrisburg.
By the year 2030, the 65 and over LGBT population in the Philadelphia region is expected to double. Irina Zhorov reports that at a meeting today, stakeholders pushed to improve health care for aging LGBT people.
LGBT seniors are more likely to grow older without a partner and to live alone. They're less likely to have children to help them when in need. One-fifth of LGBT seniors have no one at all to call during a crisis. That means many of them will rely primarily on formal health care services. Founder of the advocacy group LGBT Elder Initiative, Heshi Zinman, says healthcare providers and social service agencies need to be culturally competent to accommodate LGBT seniors.
Culturally competent looks like walking into an organization that serves the public and seeing images of me and my family, me and my husband, intake forms in doctor's offices and social service agencies that ask about gender identity and sexual orientation, that are gender neutral, feeling safe and respected in the services and supports that I need to access.
Teresa Osborne, Pennsylvania Secretary of Aging, says increasing representation of elderly LGBT people in groups considering policy issues in the state is important. She also said her own department will soon undergo cultural competency training. Irina Zhorov, WHYY News.
That's all for tonight's show. NewsWorks Tonight is produced by Shai Benyakov, Kimberly Haas, Ty Johnson, and Brett Rader. In this year's election, candidates have been stressing different priorities to different constituencies, and tomorrow evening, we'll look at an effort to use climate change issues to drive young voters to the polls. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Heller for NewsWorks Tonight.